give praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I sense in the spirit that many of you and many of you watching on the God Channel tonight and on the internet and so forth, it hasn't really dawned on you yet what has happened. It's like you come home some evening and you find that your home has been broken into and just trashed on the inside. But your most prized possession, maybe an heirloom of your family or something, was taken from you. That don't mean it's no longer yours. You just don't have it. And you immediately begin to pray. And you pray and you believe God and you pray. And it looks like it's just not doing any good. Daniel was like that, and when the angel came to him, he said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart, you were heard in heaven." From the first day. But he had been 21 days there before the Lord, amen. And he began to wonder, anybody here listening to me? And that angel set him straight. Years go by, year after year after year, but you won't give up. It's too precious to give up. That's mine. God gave that to me, and I'm not turning it loose. And you just stay there, and finally. You're just almost not even expecting it anymore. And somebody knocks on the door, and you come to the door, and they say, "Are you Mr. Copeland?" "Yes. I believe we got your heirloom back." "I don't care who had it for the last 40 years. It's mine. It's mine. God gave it to me. Because we're blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated. I'm excited. Praise God. I know you are too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The devil tried to take Phil Driscoll and his ministry away from us. And the situation that he was in was horrible, terrible thing. And it just a real move of Satan to get him out of the way. Because the scripture says praise will still and stop the avenger.
Amen, amen. Come on.
Yeah. Amen. And you remember when they came to the prophet and said, "We need to hear from the Lord, prophesy." He said, "Get for me a minstrel." And when the minstrel began to play under the anointing, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. I've had it happen over and over and over again. Amen. And the devil just set up a concentrated effort to destroy him in the eyes of people, so they wouldn't have any more to do with his ministry, and cut off his finances and put him in prison and ruin his name. Well, Phil just wouldn't quit. He just kept on believing God. Amen. And went through all kinds of horrible things inside the prison that never should have been done to him. It was the whole thing was a terrible mess. But God delivered him.
Amen.
And the prison didn't change him. But he changed the prison. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we got some good things from the Word tonight. Father, we come before your Word expectantly, open hearts. We're receiving. We are receiving the Word. We've set ourselves to watch within ourselves and hear those things that you are saying to us. And we give you praise and thanksgiving tonight. And we ascribe all of the glory to the matchless, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look once again at the scripture that we began in the Gospel of John. We read this Thursday evening. Let's take a look at it again tonight in the 16th chapter of John. And Jesus, just hours before he went to the cross, and he began to minister to his own staff the last Passover supper that they had before he went to the cross. And of course, he's seeing over in on the other side. And he's preparing them. And not only that, he's preparing himself. And he makes this statement in the 7th verse. I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you. It's better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And then in the 13th verse. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, why would the Spirit of truth be called the Comforter? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
When you know the truth, it'll make you free. You're going to see some things about that tonight. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now that's his job. And if you will receive it, he will accomplish exactly that. Now, we've been talking about the two systems. The blessing of God declared on Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was God's final work of creation. Let's go over to the book of Genesis and remind ourselves from the 26th verse of the first chapter. And And God said, let us make man, or man be in our image, after our likeness, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now he had created the earth, and then he formed the body of man with his hands. And then he gave birth to his spirit out of himself. The Bible said he breathed the breath of life into him. Well, that breathing the breath of life was in those words that I just read. That's the way he brought this whole thing into existence. Was in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and no thing, nothing that was made without him. So nothing that was made without the Word. Amen. Amen. So now, we know that the Scripture says God is love. We find here that God and his Word are the same. And that the Bible says God is light. It also said God is life. Amen. So, he released all of this universe, this specifically at that time never had been done before glory, which was manifested as matter. And it was just for you. Amen. Amen. Created all of this just for you. He decided to have a family, so he built on. Amen. He built this universe for you and me. It's ours. Now, let's go to the second chapter. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. You see, he finished. He was done. God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, the last thing, the last work, was the release of the blessing force authority on the man. Amen. The blessing force was the glory with which he created all this. And all that he created was created to sustain and perpetuate life. All of it was to support life. There was to be living things, living everything. All of it was alive. And it had to support life. Well, how's he going to be finished if he has to just continue from now on feeding what he created? But he didn't do that. And right here it's going to tell us what his plan was and how he intended for it to go. And it, you know, he doesn't ever change. Amen. He never ever changes, and he never ever quits.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He'll still be working on this a million years from now, and it'll be a whole lot better than it is now. Amen. Because he never quit. His plan was right to begin with. Now, notice this. In the fourth verse, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Now, look in verse 5. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Do you see that? Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Now come down to the eighth verse. I want you to get the concept of this, because it's never changed. It is still this way today. The Lord God planted a garden. Now, verse 5, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it was in the earth. Now remember, he spoke these things into existence. But the things that grew in that garden, he brought seed from heaven and planted it. Are you with me now? And there wasn't any man yet. See, there was no man yet. Now, I tell you what, this is shouting ground. This will wake you up in the nighttime, brother. You didn't lay there mumbling in the Holy Ghost. You know, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean it now. Now, look at this. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow. He took seed. I mean, before the man was ever in there, he took seed from heaven and he planted it. And he made it grow.
Yes.
Now, there wasn't no man there. So he got to do the growing.
Okay.
He made it grow.
Yes, sir.
Now, how do you do that? Uh-oh. How do you do that? Amen. Same way he does everything. By the water of the Word.
Amen.
The sower sows the Word.
Jesus.
Now, then he blessed the man and authorized him to use the same force that created it, the same force that made it grow. Now you go make it grow more.
Amen.
It's up to you now. It's up to you now. Now, there is a very, very strong, strong piece of information here that has been, just religion has just almost wiped it out. We almost lost the truth of it. But thank God you can't lose truth. It'll come back.
Amen.
And you can't cover it up. It'll grow through it. Amen. That tree in the middle of that garden, God put that there. You can find record of that same species of tree is in heaven. He put that there. And it was in the center of the garden. It was his. Now you see the pattern of the tithe all the way, including with Adam. How do you think Cain and Abel knew to tithe? That's what got Cain into trouble. How do you think they knew that? Their daddy taught them. It's what got him into trouble. That tree in the middle of that garden was God's. And the fruit on it was God's. And it was Adam's job to take care of that tree. He had all of the rest of the garden, and he had the authority and commission from God to see to it through the blessing of God that this garden would expand and grow and fill up the earth until the entire earth was the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
That was his commission. But that one tree was in the center of the garden, and it belonged to God. That was God's investment in this place. You got to remember now, God's plan was to move here.
Amen.
He planned on coming here.
Amen.
For good.
Amen. Wow.
I told you the other night, read the back of the book, man. I mean, that, you know, the front and the back go together. Now, God did not intend for this man to remain ignorant of good and evil. The devil lied to him and told him that God didn't want him to know. That's a lie. There wasn't anything God didn't want him to know. We just read it from the Gospel of John. All that the Father has is mine, and he will take everything that's mine and show it unto you. That's been God's will all the time. He has never changed. But the devil lied to Adam and his wife and told them God didn't want them to know. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. So, what was the situation here? Why was that such a problem? Now, if you look at throughout the course, I mean from the very beginning all the way through, including the ministry of Jesus, the Bible says Jesus' ministry is, he is a high priest forever after the orders of Melchizedek. He has the same orders on him that Melchizedek had on him when God called Melchizedek, the high priest of God, to take bread and wine, the covenant elements, and go receive Abram's tithe and bless him. Bless him. Now, God blessed them. His plan, it's obvious, because you can track it all the way through the Word. And it never changes. It's always the same. We bring our tithe. The high priest of our days takes our tithe and blesses us. That's what was supposed to happen. Same thing that God said to Adam is the same thing Jesus will say to you. It's the same thing that Melchizedek said to Abram. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Amen.
And then later we find out in the book of Romans that because of faith, Abraham was heir of the world.
He believes what Melchizedek said.
So, what God intended was at harvest time for Adam to meet God in the center of the garden with God's fruit from his tree. Amen.
Amen.
And sit down, have a joyous time, have a feast from this garden. I mean, God's big on feasting and shouting and jumping and dancing and having a big time. Gentiles were the ones that started crying in church. I don't know where we got that, but anyway. But now, what had he done? He robbed himself of the privilege of learning both good and evil from God, who would have set him down and fed him of that fruit. Let me ask you something. Has God ever spent your tithe on himself? Now, what does he do? He spends your tithe on your spiritual development.
That's right.
He turns it right back around to spend it on your spiritual development. At least that's where it's supposed to go. Isn't that right? So he missed the opportunity. First place, he picked the fruit green. It was not ready. He wasn't ready to get into that. He didn't know anything yet. When the time had come, God would have set him down. And he said, now here's some things you need to know. And he would have fed him of his tree. Oh, man. Well, like I said, God never changes. He still has the same thing going ahead, then going. He finished his work. He ceased from his work. But then when Adam did what he did, God immediately went back to work to get that blessing back. Immediately. He went after it to get it back. This entire Bible, from that first page, all of this entire Bible is the recovery of the blessing and the removal of the curse. Hallelujah. Get it back like it belongs and go on from here. Christ was made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, or come on the nations, come on all the rest of us through Christ Jesus, that we might be heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise God made to Abraham. In Galatians 3:8, the Bible said, and God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Amen. Now that was God's purpose. It's what he set out to do. And the last 6,000 years hold record of his actions and his words and his promises and covenants to get it back. And it's been done. Jesus has secured it. The only thing that's left is for you to choose to walk in it. It's yours. Just as much as it was Adam's. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, now then, let's talk about, move right on over now into the ninth chapter. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Same words. Very same words. He blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So then God said to them, be fruitful, multiply. In the seventh verse, bring forth abundantly in the earth, multiply therein. He spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. And he established the rainbow covenant. Now, the rainbow covenant was God's transfer method of the blessing that Adam should have brought forth. And now that thing has been wiped out of the way, and now the rainbow covenant is in force. And God put that rainbow first before Noah and his sons ever saw it, before it was ever manifest in the earth. God put that rainbow in a 360-degree arc in the very throne room of heaven. Any direction he looks, any decision he makes, that rainbow is in his face.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Shem stayed with it. But Ham and Japheth didn't. Now, let's read here then what happened to Ham and Japheth. Go to the 11th chapter. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Nobody in the earth had any knowledge of doing anything except the way God did things. They didn't know anything else. And anybody that had gotten mixed up with fallen angels, men that had and angels that had left their original estate and contaminated the gene pool of humanity and had messed this thing up so bad that God had to intervene and get that mess off of the face of the earth. And now it is back down to Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Amen.
And so they don't know anything other than what God taught Noah. Now you have to remember, these people live a long time. They didn't know how to die. No, it took a long time for men to be taught how to die. They didn't start talking death right away. All they knew was to imagine it, believe it, speak it, and it would come to pass. They were created in God's image, and that's the way He does things. He imagined it, planned it, believed it, spoke it. There's not any other way to do anything. Even today, there's no second way in the earth. It still works the same way, but it becomes a curse when you work it backwards. Working it backwards is called wickedness. Wicked means twist. And when you take God's way and you twist it and you work it backwards, it brings death instead of life. It's a curse instead of a blessing. But there's not any other way to do it. You cannot get away from the fact that we live in a word system. The thing was created by words. Words are in command and control over this whole thing. You cannot escape that. You can't change that. Now, you may not even know that's what's controlling your life. Most people don't. And that's because of this fouled up, twisted system that got introduced into the earth along with Satan. See, he's twisted. He didn't bring anything new into the earth. He didn't have anything to bring. Are you kidding me? He was created. He is a spiritual machine. He didn't bring anything. He can't change the laws here. Amen. All he can do is twist them and do his best to make you use them against yourself.
Amen.
And he's got to con you into that. Amen. He's a liar. Amen. So, you cannot change the fact that you live, like Jesus said, under words. You're justified by your words, you're condemned by your words, and you stand judgment for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Command and authority is in life and death, in the authority of the tongue. You know what Scripture says? The authority of life and death is in the tongue.
Yes. Amen.
Well, you can't change that. But you can choose the words under which you live. Because you are the prophet in your own life. Your future is in your mouth. always has been. God created man to be just like him. And the only way he knows how to do anything, the only way he's ever heard of how to do anything, is just however God does it, because that's the only way there is to do it. And he was taught by God, and the whole world did think. They didn't stop and think about it. That's the way they did it, man. It's the only thing anybody knew. And so until this occurred, I want you to look at what God said. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelled there. They said one to another. They said. You see it? They said one to another. Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. They said it. And they were all of one speech and of one mind. They had absolutely no hindrance to their ability to imagine, believe it, and say it. They didn't know any other way. It's the way God did it. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built, and said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now they were building a system of meeting their own needs without God. Because they had found out, to get our need met, all we have to do is imagine it and say it, and it'll come to pass. And as long as we walk in agreement, this thing will work.
Amen.
And God said, not anything they can't do. So, go to, let us go down, and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, this was not, and suddenly one day, you know, there's all of a sudden German and French and Latin and all these different languages, no? All of the different languages and dialects and all of that came out of this. But the thing that happened that day, remember now how God does things. Huh? He speaks, and it is. He said, Babel. The creative language is Hebrew. That's what they thought in. That's the reason there are words in other languages that are not even in the Hebrew language. There's no word in the Hebrew language for coincidence. There's also no word in that language for retirement. It's not there. So some Gentile made that up, brother. Just because he don't want to work. Amen. If you're working towards retirement, think of how crosswise of God's plan that is. If that's your motivation in life, is to work towards retirement, work towards the time you can stop being of any value to your fellow man and to the earth and the space that you were created to fulfill. It's crosswise of his whole operation. You're supposed to go into all the world and be fruitful and multiply for 120 years. Amen. So, the thing that occurred that day when God spoke confusion, it put a cap on their ability to imagine, see themselves doing it, their ability to communicate with one another. Like, you can see, we talked about this. Some I won't go into it a great deal because we've got so much ground to cover tonight. But I will remind you of this. Even when we're speaking the same language, you can just be from a little different part of the country than I am. And I can say something, and you'll have one picture in your mind. I got another picture in my mind. He has another picture in his. He comes from Great Britain. I come from the South, and you come from New England. We ain't got any idea what we're not talking about. Well, that's what happened to them that day. It confused them, and it put a cap on the disobedient, ungodly man's ability to use God's likeness and power to create his own kingdom in this earth. And so, from that day until this, their city could only get so big, and their tower could only get so big, and it'd fall. Why? It would get up to a point they didn't know what to do next. Now, here's what was so amazing about it. The confusion part of it is, instead of saying, we will know what to do next, they would say, we don't know what to do next. So the system is still working, but it's twisted, and it bloats. Because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. You don't understand how come this thing don't work, so we just have to try something else. It's still working. You can't change the system. But the more ignorant you become of it, the more you curse yourself with your own mouth. And so, a person that says, ah, oh, man, that word seed sowing thing don't mean nothing, dear God. That's just a bunch of foolishness. Well, the scripture says, God, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
And that's what's happening around us today. This same Babylonian system of commerce, meet your needs without God, is still functioning in the earth today, and every nation, since Babel fell, every nation since then, this whole book is record of one national failure right after another, built on the same stupidity, doing exactly the same thing, saying the same words and believing, but this time we'll get something different, and you can't. Don't ever be concerned about it, because there is never, ever going to be but one man that will rule the earth. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I thought the Antichrist was going to rule the earth. Well, that's what you get for thinking instead of reading.
Amen. Amen.
There ain't nobody had the kind of trouble the Antichrist got. He just can't get it to stay together, brother. I mean, he's got a mess going into the thing because he is Satan-possessed.
That's right. Yeah.
So what has he got but trouble?
Amen.
You know what his biggest trouble is? Same thing your biggest trouble is. His big blab mouth. What did Satan do? For he said in his heart, I will be like the Most High God. I will raise my throne up above the clouds. No, you won't.
That's right.
Amen. But he don't know any other way to do it. You know what? There is no other way.
That's right.
What you say is what you have. And what you have is what you said yesterday.
Amen.
So, the words you've been sowing, I think you better get into prayer and repent and get you a crop failure. Get the blood on that crop, man, and wipe that sucker out and replant. Hallelujah. Ha! That's the story of the cross. Praise God, yes. And we can pray the prayers, put a watch over my mouth, Lord, that I don't sin against you. Fill my mouth with your holy word, by your Holy Ghost. Oh man, don't you remember that Jesus said, I say nothing except what I heard my Father say? Don't you remember him saying that? And he said that, and then he said something, and the scripture says, and at that saying, many of the Jews believed on him. And then he said, continue ye in my word. Oh, now, wait a minute. Where did he say he got his word? Huh? I don't speak of myself. Only those things which my Father has taught me. Only those things which my Father has said. Only those things that come from him, right? Continue in my word, and you'll be my disciple. You know what the word translated there, disciple, means? You'll be just like me. Because I'm telling you what he told me. Now, stay with me here. You're going to shout here in about 30 seconds. This stuff just drives religious people right out of their gourd, man. but it's book. Praise the Lord. You continue in my word. And my word is only what my Father has said to me. You continue in what I say that I heard from my Father. And then what we read in the 16th chapter of John, when he comes, he'll take what is mine and show it to you. Same deal. And you will be my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, now, wait a minute. What did he mean by make you free? Would you like to know? For additional tapes by Kenneth. No, I'll tell you. You say things like this, man. This is what, it upsets the folks at the seminary. Whoo, my goodness. But how could it be anything else? See? Continue in my word that I got from the Father. Same word. Exactly. You continue in my word, and you will be my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you as free as I am.
Amen.
It have to, man. That's the reason you don't need to be saying anything until you qualify.
Amen. Right.
You don't need to be speaking in fear. You don't need to be talking out of bitterness in your heart. Right. No, shut up if you have to stick a rag in your mouth.
Amen.
Don't say anything. Until God's word comes out of your mouth.
You.
Keep your big mouth shut.
Amen.
You don't want that mess coming to pass.
Amen.
Amen. I better get back to business here. We got a lot to do. Now, you understand now, therefore the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, why did he do that? Because that's what he told them to do in the first place, was to go throughout the earth and multiply. Now, but Shem stayed with it. He stayed with God in the blessing. Amen. Now come on over to the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That's what God had intended all along. He blessed Adam. He blew it off. He blessed Noah. Noah got drunk. He blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham and Japheth went off and did something else and got confusion strapped on them where they couldn't build anything that would last or consume the earth. It came. It's built on sand. That sand is confusion. We're built on a rock. Hallelujah. Get over in the blessing system. Put the blessing words in your mouth and walk in it. And you can operate in this same area. Now notice, they said, let us make. Let us make. God said, do what I tell you to do. I will make it. I'll make your name great. I'll do it. You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Casting the whole of your care over on Him, for He cares for you. And in due time, He will exalt you. God's not against your being exalted. He don't want you exalting you. Because when you start exalting you, then you can't stand. But if you let Him exalt you above that situation, you be standing on the rock. Amen. Now, with that system in our mind, those two systems in our mind, here you've got the Babylonian system of man trying to meet his own needs without God, and here you have the blessing of God, or the Eden promise, the Eden system that the earth was created to function under. And when you get on that system, then everything in the earth will respond to you. It was created to. It can't keep from it. Now, let's go over to the book of James. You remember now, James was raised in the household with Jesus. This clears up some things that are vitally important and takes them out of the realm of religion and puts it over in the reality of the Christian life, the anointed life. That's what Christian means. The Christian, the word Christ is Greek for anointing. And that's who we are. At Antioch, they were first called Christians. Jesus, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is not a title. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me. And you find in the book of Isaiah, the same book where that came from, you find the definition of the anointing that he was speaking about. And it says in there that in that day, don't you remember he said, this day this scripture fulfilled in your ears? In that day, his, the devil's burden shall be taken off your shoulder. And the yoke from your neck shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, it didn't say it'll be broken. It said destroyed. And the word translated destroyed in Hebrew means to corrupt. Absolutely eat it away.
Amen.
If it's a steel yoke, then the anointing will work on it like rust.
Yeah.
And man, when you get done with it, it's not anything there anymore.
Amen.
Like corrosion is to aluminum and rust is to steel. I mean, that when the anointing gets through with that yoke, it ain't fit for the devil's use anymore. I mean, ain't no way he can yoke you down with that thing and turn it into powder.
Yeah.
totally destroy it. Now, that anointing then, when you understand that the blessing is the highest force of authority that was ever released in the earth. The man was created in the absolute image of God and was given all of God's attributes. And then the Bible said he crowned him with his glory.
Amen.
What glory? The blessing was the crowning of God's creative glory. And he assigned the man to fill up the earth.
Amen.
You can't get any higher than that. So when Jesus came, he walked in the blessing. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that God sent Jesus to you to bless you.
Amen.
Well, that wasn't just, God bless you. He came as the second and the last Adam. With that same blessing in full tact. Fully intact. Amen. It was the operation of the blessing that healed everybody that got healed. It was the operation of the blessing that raised Lazarus out of that tomb. It was the operation and the power of God's glory. Any man on him called the anointing that destroyed yokes. God's burden removing, yoke destroying power. And that's the curse removing part of that blessing. God called it the gospel. That is the same power that went into hell and raised Jesus up from the dead. It was the same blessing that Satan envied and coveted and stole it off of Adam. It was the same blessing that stripped him of his authority and took the keys of hell and took the keys of the grave and took all away from him and stripped him and left him naked.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Glory be to God. Therefore, you take my name and you go into all the earth and you cast out the devil and you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But you're going to have to get the blessing in your heart and the blessing in your mouth and the blessing in your eyes and quit acting like Babylon. And talking confused talk. I can't. I never will. Nobody loves me. I'm no good. God don't even love me. You lying hound. Well, I ain't got but a few minutes. I got to go home tonight. I ain't got time to play church with you. Oh, hallelujah. It was the blessing. He led them out to Bethany and he lifted his hands and he blessed them. He already said, he never said anything but what his father already said. And he blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, go into all the world and preach the blessing to every creature. In my name. And while he blessed them, he was caught away into heaven. Those were the words coming out of his mouth when he left this earth and he walked into heaven, the reigning authority with the words of the blessing on his mouth. My God, man, I don't see how we can just stand still over this. Huh? Woo, the future is in our hands. Now we know what what to do now that we got our country back. Praise God. Yeah, you ain't getting it again, Bubba. You ain't taking it away again. No, sir. No, sir. It's going to be just like God said it's going to be. Hallelujah. The land of liberty and justice for all. All. All created equal. Hallelujah. But it goes further than just being created equal. The gospel is every man can be blessed. Every man, every woman, and every child, once they hear the gospel, can be filled with the very blessing of God and go forth and bless humanity. That's the gospel. And this is the only country on the face of this earth where it can be freely preached. Hallelujah. Oh, ho, ho, ho. That's what liberty means.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Are you there? The book of James, the bottom line of this book is, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You see that in verse 22 of the first chapter. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, look in verse 25 what James calls the word. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You see it? And continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. My God. In all of his deeds. By being a doer of the word, he is in the perfect law of liberty. Against the word of God, there is no law that can constrain and continue to put the word down. If you will be a doer of the word, it becomes the perfect law of liberty in your life, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and every word you say will release the power of that blessing in you, through you, over you, around you. And it will continue to manifest and manifest and manifest until you're free. You can't stop it. Can't be stopped. Not if you'll do it. Now, let's go into the third chapter. James chapter 3, look at verse 2. If any man, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect, don't let the word perfect throw you there. The same is an adult, mature person. And able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm wherever the governor listeth, or wherever the captain guides and turns the wheel, that's where the ship goes. Even so the tongue. So now what does he say? Even so the tongue. The mature believer. that has learned to bridle his tongue. What is he? Well, in first place, he's a doer of the word.
Amen.
Not just a hearer only. This is what this whole book is about. And that's what he's explaining here. Then he is able also to bridle all his flesh. So don't try to bridle your whole body. Get on that tongue.
Amen.
And then you have control of the rest of this system. Now, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course, or the cross reference says, the wheel of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, how does Satan get to your tongue? He has to get to your imagination first. The little pictures that go on in your mind all the time, all day, day in, day out. You don't think in letters or characters or words. You think in pictures and images. And the transfer of images from one to the other is where that Babylonian system got crippled. And so, you have to renew your mind.
Amen.
Now, hold your place there, because we're coming right back here, because James is going to tell us in a moment here how to do this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, remember, if I control my tongue, then I can control, change the direction of my whole body, my whole life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in this natural physical world, even though we are surrounded by that Babylonian system, the Eden system is still available to us. But if we don't be a doer of the word, just a hearer only, you can hear the word and still carry out Babylon in your life, your finances, your body, and everything else, and then turn to their system to get your healing. When their stuff will kill you. You can get sicker on their remedies than you were to start with. Because they're all in the drug business. And drug dealers are out to sell drugs. Whether they're on the street or in the drugstore or wherever they are, they're out to sell drugs. Amen. I just get out on the bottom line, and that's what Babylon's all about, brother. When you got one little pill to make you $3 billion a year, then if there's some way to make everybody sick, we got a thing going here, man. And then if we can get people over on enough that legal on that legal dope, and then get the government to start buying the dope for them, we got a bird nest on the ground, man. And if you ain't figured that out by now, you need to wake up and smell the roses. I'll tell you what, you become a doer of the word, and the side effects are all good. Amen. Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, taking control. The word will take control of your imagining. The things you, the mind pictures, the imagination, the connection to the creative part of you, the part of you that's like God. The Word will renew it and change all of that. But you're going to have to take authority over it, become a doer of the Word, and cast that other imagination down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, or exalts itself against what you know the Word of God says. And when somebody comes in and tells you that Jesus is the one that made you sick to try to teach you something, I'm going to cast that down. I'm going to cast that imagination down and get away from you before I cast you down. I don't like to hear that. I don't like that. Makes me want to do something I ought not do. Man, I don't like that. Now, and bringing into captivity, how many thoughts? All of them. All of them. Not just Sunday thoughts. If we had time, we'd go over there to the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and it said, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. And if you study that out, it literally means, let the wicked man turn his back on those thoughts like he never knew you.
Amen.
Because God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And therefore, my word goes forth out of my mouth, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In other words, come on up here and think with me. Come on up here onto my thoughts and my ways, the blessing way. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Cast down that imagination, those thoughts creeping across your mind of you being destroyed. What are you going to do next? Oh, we'll never get out of this. They're going to come take away everything we have. You better jump up out of that bed and just go to laughing, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Or get over on the 127th Psalm, laugh at the devil, and go on to sleep.
Amen.
Where it said, it is vain to rise up early and stay up late, feeding on the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sleep. I go to sleep on it every night of the world. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the gift of sleep. I am my Father's beloved. Amen. Ain't no use laying there worrying about that mess. I need my rest, baby. Oh, yeah. I tell you, this is life in the blessing lane.
Amen.
Amen. Where the traffic ain't never heavy. You on the move, brother, all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to the book of James now. James is talking to us here about that very thing that the Apostle Paul brought up. Now, I mentioned this morning in healing school over there in Philippians 3, where the Apostle Paul said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. I press forward towards the prize of the high calling.
Amen.
Put some pressure on the devil.
Amen.
Put some pressure on the word. It'll stand it. Amen.
Amen.
Cast that other mess down. Go on to sleep and get up in the morning and hit it with the blessing of God in your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what the devil got in store for you. If you go to sleep on the book, man, you went to sleep on the perfect law of liberty. Perfect law of liberty. Not kind of some is and some don't law, but the perfect law of liberty. Not the win a few, lose a few law. No, that come out of Babylon, man. This one come out of heaven, and love never fails. Woo! You missed a chance to shout right there. Glory to God. Yeah. Now look at what James said. The tongue sets in motion the laws. And he's talking about the laws of failure. The tongue, among our members, it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course or the wheel of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's the reason Satan works so hard to get a hold of your tongue. And that's the reason he works so hard to keep the body of Christ from ever talking in tongues.
Amen. Teach it. Come on, teach it.
And building themselves up on their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hoo-wee.
Teach it. Amen.
A mouthful of God's word coming straight from heaven. He just as soon you did not ever find out about that.
Amen. Teach it. Amen.
Because what God removed at Babel, he gave it back at Pentecost.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And not only gave it back, he brought it here himself.
Amen. Amen.
Man, I got to preach on me so much. I'm having a hard time staying with my job here. I'm going to just go all over the place here. The tongue, in verse 7, every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind or by natural man's authority. Well, certainly God gave him authority over all the animals in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be born again to train a horse. You do a better job of it if you are. Oh, yeah. You let God tell you how to train the horse.
Yeah.
Used to, you know, my kin folks used to think, well, just get on him and ride the sucker till he either dies or gives up. Well, you can ride him the rest of your life, but the poor horse probably hates your guts for the rest of his days. He only reason he does what you say is because you made him.
Amen.
Well, that's actually the truth. But we've learned that there's a better way than that.
Yeah.
And it's not any accident that the best men in the world at it are spirit-filled believers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where you can actually get inside that animal's thinking and cause the animal to choose you as his head and authority. And you can tame him in 30 minutes. I've seen it done. And my son and I got so excited at it watching it, so we built us a round pen. And John got to where he could do it, man. I mean, you know. And the old horse just follow you around. Now, I mean, he thinks you God. Well, to him you are.
Amen.
But you can't tame the tongue like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, see what he's saying here. He said, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue cannot be man tamed.
Yeah.
You can't tame it with the same natural physical authority that you tame an animal.
Yeah.
Because your tongue is tied to your spirit.
And it'd go right past your brain, and your brain never even knew it said something.
Yeah. All right.
The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good manner of life his actions, his works, with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't talk! Now something, this is what is so important at a time when you just get blindsided with some disastrous thing and something you were not expecting at all, and all this financial mess and all of this talk about world meltdown. Well, our world ain't melting down, and there ain't no use you getting in there and joining in on the recession.
Amen.
It don't belong to you. But you're not going to be able to do anything about it if you don't do something first with your tongue. You can't. I don't care how born again you are and how baptized in the Holy Ghost you are. If you're not going to be a doer of the work, you're not over on the law of liberty. And you're going to drift right on to downtown Babylon. And you get out of there any day you make the decision. And I'm going to show you. Now we're coming into this area that's so important. Lie not against the truth. Work on it. I'm telling you, work on it. To make the firm quality decision. To keep your mouth shut for anything except the love of God, the faith of God, and the Word of God. And you can't get there if you don't do anything about it until some bad deal comes along. No, you're so far behind, man. Start working on it now. Repent today. Amen. Turn your car into a study hall and cathedral every day going to work. I mean, you get your CDs out and you fill your heart full of the Word of God. You praise God all the way to work and you praise God all the way home. And get it in your spirit, get it in your eyes, get it in your mouth, and begin to declare who you are. I'm blessed. The blessing of Abraham is on me. My mouth is filled with God's Word. Put a watch over my mouth, O God, that I sin not against you. I'll not talk recession. I'm not in the recession. I'll not talk depression. I'm not in the depression. I'm blessed, praise God. And I have released the blessing of God in my life, and I refuse to ever be in debt again. This wisdom. Now here's both systems right here. And this, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, any of it, you better repent now. Glory not. Well, I got a right to do that. No. I don't care if you do have a right. I don't care how ugly they've been to you. Shut up. Lie not against the truth. Don't stop the perfect law of liberty by speaking it out your mouth. Because anything but the Word is a lie. That whole Babylon system is a lie. The confusion of it is because it's a lie. You can't meet your own needs without God. This wisdom descends not from above. It is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion, Babel, and every evil work. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, and he said, the man of God must not be in strife. Because he must be gentle. He must be apt to teach. So that he can minister to them that oppose themselves, those that are in strife. That peradventure God will give them repentance that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who take them captive at his will.
That's good. That's good. Teach.
That's what makes strife a big deal.
Amen.
Any of it.
Teach.
You can get, you. I don't care. I don't care how long you've been born again. I don't care if you spent the last 9 years living in the church.
Teach it. Come on, teach it. Tell it.
You can get to a place in strife where it gets to the point where the Bible don't even mean anything to you when somebody start talking to you about stopping that strife and walking in love. Yeah, but you don't understand now, Brother Copeland, what they did. Now, bless God, I know the Bible says that, but now you just listen.
Teach them.
You're in a tough place when you're like that.
Amen.
Satan can get into your innermost counsel, and God can't get in a word edgewise. You're in a lot of danger. And you need somebody that'll tell you the truth in love and tell you, say, I'm going to tell you something now, kids. Y'all better cut this strife right now. Satan is using you whenever he needs you. That's bad. That's bad. Babylon is running your life. And it's full of death. Now, if you only knew what was happening outranging from you. You get so tied up in strife, you can get so selfish, you can't see any further than the very front of your face, and you don't realize that what you're doing is affecting the whole body of Christ. It's affecting your nation. It's affecting your neighborhood, because you have an assignment from God. You have a master plan from God, and what you are doing is crosswise of what He is doing, and you and all the rest of us in the body of Christ are connected together. And it's just screwing up the whole world. And you don't think it's doing anything to anybody but them. Whoever it is I'm mad at. Not me it's bothering. I'll show him. That's like taking poison so they'll die. This stuff is drastically serious.
Teach it.
Now, the wisdom that is from above. Now, what is this all about? Being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The word which is from above is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. The word is never mad at you. Glory to God. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. God's word, put it in your mouth.
Amen.
Put it first place in your life. Whether you like it or not, repent and get over on it. And tell whomever it is you've been fussing and fighting with, hey, I was the one who's wrong. Forget this. I'm done fighting. You win. Forget it. I ain't going to fuss with you no more. I love you, man. Get out of it. Get in the Word and stay there. Now then. The Lord Turn with me to the book of Romans. The Lord said this to me, that this message is, don't mess up the setup.
Right.
Don't mess up the setup. He is always setting you up to be blessed. Always. And he's not out just telling everybody in the world about it, because, hey, the secret things belong to the Lord. Amen. And to you.
Amen. I receive it.
Amen. See? So, the only way the devil find out about it is for you to shoot your mouth off about it. And that's the reason God does not, in a lot of people's lives, that he doesn't reveal very much of what he's trying to do, for you go shooting your mouth off about it, and the devil finds out about it, and he'll jump in and try to stop it. Either the devil or one of your good friends. Somebody that's in strife that Satan can use at his will, they'll call you in the morning. Amen. Call you something ugly over the telephone. Get you all stirred up. Romans 8, are you there? Verse 26. The Spirit helpeth. The word translated helpeth is a Greek word that you can't say in English. Helpeth doesn't say it. And if you get it all said, it takes a whole string of words to say it. And the easiest way to remember this, and you can make yourself a note of it, the Spirit takes hold together with us against. Well, you can see where they got the word help. He takes hold together with us against our infirmities, or against all of the junk that comes against our lives, the things we have to help with. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, if you just pray knee-jerk prayers all the time, you get a pain, oh, God, heal me. You know? You get a bill in the mail. Oh, God, prosper me. I mean, if that's all you ever do, you ain't got much going. Bless your heart. I don't like having to be the one to tell you, but you ain't going to make it. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, or takes hold together with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm telling you, he'll take hold of you and he'll start feeding prayer into your spirit. He'll start putting words in there that the devil can't figure out what on earth is coming out of you. And he'll move with you in there. He'll pump you so full of that blessing power that it starts rolling out of you. That's what happened to Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible said he groaned within himself. And said, roll out stone away from the door. Whoa. And he also said, I know you've already heard me. Glory to God. You know, you don't see Jesus standing out there in front of that tomb saying, oh, I hope I got the faith to do this. Yeah. No. Man, oh man. Look at all that bunch standing over. Man, what if he don't get up? No. The Bible said he grew in wisdom. How did he do that? From the Word. He stayed about his Father's business. And what he preached from the Word.
Right.
what he did in the world. And he took advantage of what came in him and on him in the Jordan River when John baptized him in water and the clouds opened up and the Holy Ghost came on him. My God. And he walked away from there. The man of power. And he groaned in himself and said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And the power of heaven's blessing went into that tomb, picked that mummified man who had been encased in an Egyptian-style mummy casket thing, picked him up and stood him at the door of the tomb. He didn't walk out of there. It jerked him out of there. And Jesus turned around and said, get him out of that thing. Loose him, let him go, man. Praise God. But that was a blessing in operation. And it came from groaning in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, people. Oh, Lord. But now get this. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. And we know. Do you know? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, which is the blessing. Now, we've used that as an excuse when the devil got away with stuff and said, yeah, but now, brother, you know, all things work together for the good. I know God just let that come on us for some good thing he's got planned in the future. Bull corn. I'm tired of hearing that tripe. They didn't say nothing in there about the devil. Didn't say anything in there about anything bad. And Jesus himself said persecution arises for the word's sake. The devil trying to steal the word out of you. He ain't trying to teach you something. Besides that, Satan don't work for God. He's not the teacher of the church. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church. This is talking about the things of God, the things of the Holy Ghost, the things of the blessing, hallelujah, are working for you all the time. All things, the name, the blood, the word, the angels, all that heaven has is out there working all the time to get you in the right way, to get you in that place, to get the blessing over to you, to get them blessed, you bless them blessed, and he's working together. He's in you, he's in me, he knows the plan. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, I had something to... I mean, the Lord just really... I mean, he just really slapped it to me one day. I was so thrilled, I was just kind of staggering around. I said, look what the Lord done here. Glory be to God. Look at this. I was so blessed. He said, if you hadn't obeyed me and gave so-and-so that $20 several years before. Now, $20 wasn't a big thing, but at that time, it is about all I had. But that didn't make any difference. It wasn't all I was going to get. God said, do it, and I did it. He said, if you hadn't done, and he just pointed out that exact situation. He said, if you hadn't done what I asked you to do and gave that $20 to so-and-so, I could not have completed this miracle in your life. They were tied together. The setup. And I didn't mess it up. Now, remember what he said? I'll bless those that bless you and curse them that curse you. Literally what he's saying there, I will bless those that bless you with the same blessing that's on you. And those that try to stop the blessing that's on you, I will stop them. Now, that's what that's all about. And if you will walk in Abraham's blessing, you can have Abraham's blessing. It'll work the same for you as Abraham. God, no respect of person. So, you're going to have to learn how to think according to the word and according to the blessing. You're going to have to renew your mind to blessing thoughts instead of Babylon thoughts. We had a situation where some property that Gloria and I were extremely interested in, and when I first found out it was for sale, it tickled me because of the circumstances and situation, which I won't take time to go into, but it was very pleasant to my thinking, and I thought, I'd like to do that. And I found out about it, and I just made an offer on the place, and nowhere near what they were asking for. And they didn't even respond to it, and I really didn't pay much attention to it. And but then, some months later, the word of the Lord came to me, and the Lord said, I want you to buy that. I said, all right. And so I got to praying about my offer I was supposed to make. Well, I come on up there, you know, and got real with it and began to listen to the Spirit of God and what He was saying to. And so I was obeying Him, and I made this next offer. And they said, they came back and said, no, they want more money than that. And they said, by the way, the people that own that property are Jewish. And they said, for some reason we thought, if you didn't know that, maybe you should know that. And I said, I'm glad to know that. Thank you. I immediately went to God. I was all of a sudden, this has got all the earmarks set up, man. And I said, yeah. I said, Lord, I'm praying for them. Call them by name. I said, Lord, I'm praying for them. I'm praying the blessing of Abraham on them. I don't know them. I don't know whether they know they're blessed or not. But I'm telling you this. I'm praying the blessing of Abraham on them. And I call them by name every day. I'm calling the blessing of Abraham on them. I release the blessing on them. I bless them. Glory to God. I bless them. Well, they came back and wanted just a bit more money. Well, it's more money than the thing was worth, because on my last offer, I talked to the person that was our friend there who's in the real estate business. I said, I want to know what that property is actually worth on the market today. Now, this was months and months ago. And I found out, and that was my offer. And then they came back wanted more. And I said, well, now here's my deal. I'm gonna pay more. But this raise in my offer is not for the property. It is a blessing offering. I want to bless the seed of Abraham. I want to bless him. Man alive, here they come. Woo, glory to God. And the first thing you know, we own that place, man. You know, and I'm going along. Now, so far, everything is just flowing along here, see. But what about the setup? It hadn't showed up yet. But it's always happening. It's always working together for your good, for your blessing, your improvement, your growth, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he has no sorrow to it. Behold, they, the ungodly in the world, that increase their wealth. The ungodly increase in the world. Jesus said that. All the Gentiles seek after these things. Why? That's the only way they got to get them. They're in that Babylonian system, and that's the only thing they have. And they're their own worst enemy. Because they continually say the wrong stuff. And you just press them a little bit, and they'll curse. How strange can it be when a man is trying to be blessed, and he curses all the time? He damns everything he sees. And he'll come up with a brilliant statement like, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. That's Babylon getting what it says. Because that's what it imagines, and so that's what it says, and so its system falls in. Now, we're blessed. That property is, I wish I had time to tell you about that whole deal. That's a blessing in itself. Marvelous in our eyes. The way this thing came to pass. It's a blessing that took place over a period of nearly 20 years. And here we are. Oh, we're so blessed. And all of a sudden, down goes property values. And, you know, and General Motors is cursing itself. And all the companies are just in the news media is going nuts. They're having a heyday. They're thinking, my God, we got a such terrible thing going here. Ain't it wonderful? So they're, you know, their whole thing. Now, I gave for that property more money than the market value of it. The thought tried to impose itself on me, and I caught that dog before I could think it, and spit it out and commanded it to leave my presence. And that was this. Oh, man. You know, if I'd have just held out another 6-8 months here, baby, I could have got that out. Them people probably broke. I know they got the big old note on that place, you know, man, and we ain't in no debt, and I got the money. You see, now I'm in pride, wanting to brag on myself. If I just held out here a while, I could have got that house for half of the money. That's the way Babylon thinks. I would have messed up my setup by talking that way. And I said out loud, I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. God set Gloria and me up by blessing the seed of Abraham with more than the market value. He was blessed. I'm set up for a blessing. I don't care what real estate does. I don't care what the stock market does. I'm in my place. Hallelujah. Just simply by following the blessing laws. I am a blessing. I'm not out hunting a bargain.
Right.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, if that man, and I've never met him yet, he may know that he was blessed. He may say, well, isn't it a blessing we sold that house before all this started? Or he may just be like the rest of Babylon, you know, and say, boy, ain't we lucky we got that house sold. Whew. Man, I don't care what he thinks. He's blessed whether he knows it or not. And God will give me the opportunity to know him and bless him yet. but I'm set up. Oh, yeah. I got a blessing on the books, man. Through what? Just being obedient to God. Because he led me and guided me into that place. That little house that was on that property that we, our family, owned for 16 years. A little small place. I got up one morning and the Lord said, sell it. Okay. He's the one who said, buy it. He said, sell it. I sold it for 3 or 4 times what I gave for it. I thought, well, that's a wonderful thing. I'm blessed. Well, the guy that bought it just took a bulldozer and just dozed the whole house down. It was gone. Our little house was gone. No, you can't start talking and feeling like that either. Because God said, sell it. We sold it. That's the end of that. Amen. Well, they came in there and they built this gorgeous, beautiful place on that same lot. And then it came up for sale. Now, Lord said, when I put you here the first time, I put you here on assignment to be the keeper of this valley and run this spirit of poverty out of this valley. Which was back in the 80s, and the whole, all of the real estate and all of the properties and builders in that valley had gone broke, and all, and just about all of them but one or two had left the valley, and they were all gone, and the banks were running over with foreclosures, and boy, it was a hard hit place. And the Lord said, I want you to buy that little house, and I want you to go in there, and you and Gloria take authority over that thing. I'm assigning you to be the keeper of this valley. The biggest witch coven in the United States had made an announcement that this particular area was going to be their world headquarters. They were going to move in. And he said, don't you let that happen. Well, that's what he was talking to us last night about our country. Boy, Gloria and I, man, we went to work on it. And the Lord provided the funds, and we got that little house, and we just so blessed and kept it for 16 years. And the witches left, and the poverty devil left, and the place started prospering, and churches started prospering, and hallelujah. And this house, on that same lot, is about 3.5 times bigger than the little one in the same place. And when we walked in there, the Lord said, I sent you here the first time on assignment, and you carried it out, and I'm blessed. So I sent you back this time. And he provided the funds to buy it. I mean, when it came up, we had the money. And he said, I sent you back this time to enjoy it. He gave us all things to enjoy. Now, see, that's his plan all the time. That's his plan for you. He's got that kind of thing working for you. But you can't let Babylon get in your mouth and start thinking like they think. We start trying to strip somebody of their blessing. You're not here to strip somebody. You're here to bless somebody. Amen. And that when times get worse is when you ought to get better, because God wants to use you to change the times. Amen. 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 That's the God we serve. Amen. And that's the way he has it planned. And that's the master plan for your life. It is one big setup. And he'll set you up every day for a blessing. He'll move you to bless somebody. You obey him to bless somebody. He's got somebody moving towards you. And what does the word say? He that through usury and unjust gain has gathered up substance, increased his substance. He gathers it up for them that will have pity on the poor. You are the blessing. You are the one that's supposed to train the poor man how to believe and train him and provide seed for him and teach him how to sow it and teach him how to grow and teach him how to prosper and believe the poverty out of his life. And then he can join you, and then you're blessed with them and they're blessed with you. That's God's plan. That's the way it works. Amen. And he will move properties and goods into your hands. And the more he can trust your mouth,
amen,
the more he can trust your hands.
Thank you, Lord.
You remember in 2 Timothy when he said, in every great house there are vessels of gold and silver and vessels of wood and mud.
Amen.
Honorable vessels and dishonorable vessels.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Copeland, I'm just a little mud pot, I guess.
Don't we have enough dishonorable vessels without you deciding to be a mud pot?
Amen. 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 That's good, teacher. Amen.
But let a man purge himself from these things, and he shall be a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold. Well, what is a vessel of gold, man? It's not just a pot made out of gold. It's the pot that holds the gold. What do you put in a mud pot? Mud. Trash. But it's your choice. It's your choice. You can have it. Jesus paid for it. And he did it with you on his mind. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise God. Let's stand and give the Lord a shout and a praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. The English translation says, but the Hebrew word is opulent. The strife man, the pride man, stirs up the bad, all of that whole Babylonian system. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made opulent. The word opulent means shall have great estate and property. That'll work. He that puts his trust in the Lord, I will make his name great. I will make him a blessing. I will be a blessing to you. I will do it. I will do it. Not you do it. You're not qualified. And when terrible, horrible things hit suddenly, think about it. Practice it. Meditate on it in your mind. I mean, just see in your mind. Imagine things happening around you, and suddenly you just come to attention and say, I refuse to speak. See yourself doing that. Say, oh, Lord, thank you. Train me like this. Train me like this, Lord. Your imagination can be a life simulator. Instead of a disaster cauldron of some kind, begging you to speak forth its putridness. So you see yourself doing it right. Amen. And then something does happen. and you just like Jairus, you say, come, put your hands on my daughter. She'll live and not die. And that's the last thing he said. He had every opportunity. That woman butted in with that issue of blood. I guarantee you he knew her. This is the leader of the synagogue. He knew who that woman was. He had an opportunity to say, oh, come on, Lord, that woman can talk all day long, man. Come on, my daughter's dying. No, he kept his mouth shut. And when the guy came in there and said, your daughter's already dead, Jesus, hearing, is said immediately, the Bible said, Jesus answered. The man said that to Jairus, but Jesus answered. Now, that's the way I want it in my life. The devil says something, but Jesus answers through my mouth. Hallelujah. Whoa, whoa. Amen. All right, now be seated for a few moments. I've waited until now to receive the offering because of what the Lord instructed me this afternoon. And this won't take but a minute. You'll see it instantaneously now. You'll see it instantly. And when you do, this sets the pattern for the person that is working with Jesus, even though what the Lord says doesn't make any sense. It wasn't supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. But we're being trained out of that other system. Fifth chapter of Luke, it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They didn't come to hear. They didn't press in on him. They overheard. They're washing their nets. They're doing their Babylonian thing. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The setup. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. Actually, a haul, a draft, for a haul. Simon answering and said unto him, Master, he wasn't calling him master in the sense that he was his master. At this point, he was not. He was a rabbi. And the word translated master should have been translated rabbi. Rabbi, we have... we have...
toil.
He did what?
Toil.
He toiled. He was working for a living. And he's the seed of Abraham. But he knew more about fishing than he did about God. Probably went to synagogue all the time, every Sabbath probably. But there wasn't anybody in those synagogues that were teaching what I'm teaching you. That's what Jesus came in there and taught, and that's what shook them up so bad. They weren't teaching the blessing either. They were teaching condemnation. Now, look at the difference. Here's the two systems, one banging into the other one. Simon answering and said, we toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, or just because you want to, I will let down the net. Now, he's washed his nets. He's worked all night long. He don't want to go back out there and fish with this preacher. We worked all night long. I've been on this lake all of my life. I've been fishing this place for a living all of my life. I worked all night long. I don't want to fish. I don't want to throw my nets in here. I want to go home and eat and go to bed. And going out here in the broad daylight after some preacher has preached half of the morning in my boat just because he wants to go out there and fish, the only reason I'm going to do it is because he's a rabbi. And I have respect for my spiritual elders. Now this was behind this. But I'm not going to throw my good nets in there and mess them all up and have to wash them again for nothing. I'm not going to do it. I'll throw in this old net. It was a rotten net. That's the reason it broke. And that's what happens when a Babylon mind runs up against the blessing of God. It was right there in his boat, and he liked to miss the whole thing. Toiling drove the fish away. The blessing drew them in because they were created to give themselves to man. But under the fear of that Babylonian system, the animal world will run. From that fear is so strong. An animal can smell fear. That's what a human smells like to them. And they can smell that fear. It's not your human scent that drives them off. It's the scent of smell. And to those animals, it's like a skunk smells to us. They don't want a part of it. They want to get away from it. Man, it's dangerous. And they'll either do one of two things. You corner them, they'll fight to kill, or they'll run. And those fish were getting out of there as fast as they could. And the only way you're going to catch any of them is trap them on a dark night. Until the blessing got in the boat, man. And all that God had said to Adam, authority over the fish of the sea. And all Jesus had to do is say, come. Come on. Every fish in the Galilee hit those boats. And Peter didn't catch a one of them.
Amen.
Look at the rest of them. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. You notice their nets didn't break. Well, they wasn't bringing no old rotten nets up there now. We'll wash nets all day long. We get in on a catch like this. Now here's the picture, though, of a born-again, spirit-filled, church-going believer that's got a Babylonian mind, religious mind, with Jesus in his boat. And instead of an offering being an opportunity, he throws Jesus the leftovers. And there it is right there. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He knew he didn't have no business doing that. He knew it was wrong when he did it. He did it because he was tired and he didn't want to work anymore. Why didn't he fall down at his feet? Because he's knee-deep in fish. And his net's broke. It's out there in the lake somewhere with a hole in it. Big as a pickup. And he's standing, oh God, look at this. Biggest fish in the whole, catching the whole wide world. I didn't get none of them because I'm just so stupid. I didn't have no better sense than to do what the man said. And he fell down at his knees, and the fish were slapping him, you know. Don't you know? And the funny part about all of this is I've known Jesus for nearly 50 years now, and I know him, man. I can see him. He's standing there like this. He ain't mad at Peter. He's just standing there. He's standing there linking at him and grinning, and the boats are just so full of fish, man, they can hardly get to the bank. And Peter's standing there crying, you know, and the fish is slapping him. And Jesus is just, he can't hardly keep a straight face, you know. He's wanting to just throw his head back and roar at this guy because he already knows what he's going to do with this man. He already knows. And he's just standing there with this joy and this love in his heart. And he's thinking, yeah, that's my boy right there. That's the one. Yeah, I'm going to make him a fisher of men.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. Glory to God! Amen. And that's what offerings are about. In a meeting like the Word said, those that are taught of the Lord should communicate or respond to the teaching by sowing. That's when he said, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows. And when you sow in reaction to what you've heard over the last 3 days, when you release your spirit and your faith, the Zoe life of God rises up within you and takes that word and that anointing and begins to process it as your word, your revelation, your blessing. And it begins to work inside you right now. I guarantee you there are angels right this very moment out there taking care of business for you that they've been trying to get done for a long time. And you got in these meetings and you got your thinking straight and you said a few words by faith and woo! Out they went. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. He's talking by faith. Hallelujah. I know. I've been there, man. I've been building up and screwing up for 42 years. I've seen God turn the mess ups into even greater blessing.
Amen.
Because He's lived here and He knows what this is all about.
Amen.
And He, if you'll stay off that love of money and covetousness and that Babylonian way of thinking, He'll make you rich.
Amen.
He needs you rich. Amen. He needs you to be able to not only sow into somebody's life, but He needs you to be able to give them seed and teach them how to sow, and then you be blessed enough to be the one that He calls on to multiply their seed sow. Grow them up. Instead of you sitting there trying to think, what am I? Oh, I'd love to give in this offering. But you get to the place where you go to the pastor and say, two things I'd like to do here. Number one, I'd like to buy you a new car. Number two, I want to build a wing on this church.
Amen.
Why not?
Amen.
Oh, now, brother, don't go start giving me that all stuff.
That's right.
I don't want to hear your Babylonian tongue.
That's right.
But when you begin to think like Jesus standing there in that boat, Peter thought he knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Why? He'd already seen it in the Spirit. He will show you things to come.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Did we get there?
Amen.
Amen.
We started somewhere on Thursday night.
Amen.
Did we get there?
Amen.
Ooh, I did. I'll tell you, I'm so thrilled. I learned more of that since Thursday than you have. I guarantee you, praise the Lord. If you need an envelope for giving, raise your hands. The ushers will wait on you. Oh, I got some great news for you. We are almost $33,000 over the budget. Praise God. Yeah. And heaven has it recorded that you did it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, what a way to live, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ushers, go ahead and receive the offering after you pass out those envelopes, and people will be obedient to the Lord. Great blessings are being released in here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, what about 2009? Shall it be a time of darkness? Or shall this be a place where the glory shines? Yes, the glory is here. The glory has come. And things in 2009 that you thought was absolutely never ever going to come to pass are going to happen so smoothly and so easily, you're going to say, my, 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 I don't see why I ever was disturbed about that. Why, glory to God, and it's going to increase and increase and increase, and before the end of 2009, you won't be able to recognize yourself or your nation, because the Spirit of the living God will be moving in ways that you've only dreamed about up till now, and you'll be on your way to more wonderful and greater things. That's the word of the Lord that came to me. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 2009. And the glory will shine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
You know what the middle word to Babylonian is, don't you? Baloney.
Yeah, it is.
Babylonian.
Babylonian.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad to be delivered from the Babylonian, Babylon, baloney system. Amen.
Amen. You ready to say
it? I'll tell you what, back years ago, I was one of their pride and prize.
Balonians.
Balonians. Guarantee you, man. Oh, yeah. Until I got in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord began to change us. And he was telling us then, he said, now I'm working on something. I'm taking you somewhere.
Yeah.
And the thing that got over to me, Lynn, was it was two things. One, when I found out the Word was absolutely true, that it was God's bond. It was not a religious book. It was His bond. He's bound to this. And the other thing was that, hey, I'm in eternity now.
Yeah.
This is eternity.
Yeah.
Eternity ain't going to start sometime or another. We're in it.
Hallelujah.
That came as a great revelation to me. I mean, you may have known that all your life. I didn't. I always thought about eternity after I died.
You want to shake up somebody, get in an elevator and say, hello, immortals.
No, you do that.
No, I'll let you do that.
November the 12th through the 14th, 2009, we're going to be right here. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. I want to hear some testimonies over the next months out of last night's seed. Before you wrote the thing down and put it in your pocket and keep it. I want you to send me testimonies about that. I want to hear it. Praise the Lord. I got one too. I got one in my pocket. Ain't nobody, me and Jesus know about it. Amen. Gloria's got one. And I hadn't told her what mine is. I'm not going to. Unless she asked me. No, Now she won't ask me about it. We'll go through this thing then, and we'll have testimonies. And this time next year, oh, we're going to be in the shine. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. Go ahead, Lynn. You ready?
Yeah. Then sings my soul, my Savior.